familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
The time has come to wean your baby from breastfeeding. Perhaps it's your choice, or maybe you're letting your child choose when it's time to wean. Regardless, it can be a challenge both mentally and physically for you both. Today, we continue our series, Breastfeeding Challenges, by talking with moms about the practical side of what it takes to wean their babies. We're the Boo Group.
I use a breast pump.
I hand express milk for my baby.
I exclusively breastfeed.
I use a nipple shield.
I breastfed after a C-section.
I use a milk bank.
I breastfeed in public whenever I feel like it.
I pump at work.
I breastfeed with a cover.
I breastfeed twins.
I give my baby bottles.
I made my own supplemental nursing system.
I supplement with formula.
I talk to my baby while I breastfeed.
I'm breastfeeding as a survivor of sexual abuse.
When I have extra milk, I share it with other moms.
We are equal.
We are
the Boob Group.
Welcome to the Boob Group. We're here to support all moms wanting to provide breast milk to their babies. I'm your host, Priya Namard, and I'm also the co-founder of Moms Pump Here Nursery Room Locator app, which helps moms all over the world to find great places to pump and breastfeed their babies. If you haven't yet, we encourage you to download the new Mommy Media Network app, which gives you easy access to all our episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, so all your latest episodes download to your mobile device automatically. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review so other moms can learn about us. Let's meet the mamas joining our conversation today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Hi, my name is Graham Seabrook. I'm a pregnancy and postpartum coach, and I'm also a blogger at postpartummama.org. And I've got two kiddos. My son is 3, and my daughter, Rory, is 10 months old, and we just finished weaning about 2 weeks ago.
Hey guys, I'm Sunny, and I'm producing today's episode, and I'm also just going to participate as a mama because I'm. It's sad to say that I'm starting to wean too.
Oh, I know.
It happened all of a sudden. I can explain later in the show, but I have 4 kids. If you've listened to the Boob Group, you've heard me tell this story before. But 4 of them, my oldest. I have 2 boys. Those are my oldest, ages 6 and 4, and then I have identical twin girls who are 2 and a half, and those are my babies that are starting to wean.
Oh, wow.
It's a sad time. It's a sad time. I'll be okay, though.
Yes, you will absolutely be okay. So I'm also your host, and I'm a mom of 3, and my children are older, so I've been through the weaning process for all of them, but my oldest is now 14, my daughter's 12, and my youngest, Liam, is 8, and I actually breastfed him for 3 years, and the weaning was probably most difficult for him because he was my last one. So I can't wait to share my experience with all of you and to have this great discussion about weaning. Thank you so much for being on.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
You news headline. So I don't know if you guys saw, there was a image going around of a mom pumping in an Embassy Suites hotel because she couldn't find any place to breast pump. Did you guys see that?
I did.
Did
yes.
we see that? Oh, yes.
So it's crazy. Like, so she went up to, I guess, the management or whatever, and she was there for a conference, by the way. So she went up to management. She was looking for a place to pump, and they told her to go use the bathroom and that she was not a paying customer. So she was like, wait, I just paid for this conference.
Yes.
Why can I not use your spaces?
Right.
So they gave her such a hard time that she ended up just whipping out her pumping bra in the middle of the hotel lobby and pumping right there in front of everybody, yes. which is pretty bad.
I know. Okay, I love her.
Yeah, you can say that. Man,
I was about to say awesome. And I was like, oh, Sonny's going to get mad at me.
I'll give you guys a pass on this one.
Thank you. Because she is. There's no other word for it. Mm-hmm.
I love it. And do you guys see the photo? I'm looking at, you know, this. I'm sure that this story has been covered multiple times, but Us Weekly actually did something on this. And I don't know if she took that just to remember the situation or someone
she
else.
She took it and posted. She had a friend take it and she posted okay. it on Facebook mm-hmm. in a breastfeeding group. She's in a breastfeeding group on Facebook. So that was how it first got online, because she's also a social worker and knew that this was against the law. And she was just like, wow. Yeah, you're messing with the wrong mom right now, you guys. Wrong mm-hmm. mom.
I wonder what the hotel did in response to this. Have you guys seen anything about it?
I think they backtracked. And this happens so many times, right? They backtrack after they get some negative publicity over it and admitted that this was wrong and she shouldn't have been treated this way. And I don't know if they offered any solutions moving forward, which I feel like they probably should have, like saying, hey, we've learned from this and this is what we're going to do moving forward. I don't know that that actually happened, but I just love this photo because she's not upset in the photo. Like, I know she kind of went off on the person behind the desk, but she's happy, you know, and I think that is kind of a testament to her that she can take a situation and not be completely, you know, upset and bitter about it. Like, she was very confident. Like you said, Graham, she's in social work. Like, she knows what her rights are. And she just looks like a happy mom. And I think that's a great image.
You know, that's funny because I took that as a sarcastic smile.
Oh, you like, did?
Yeah, I'm doing this.
Well, because, yes, and I took it as a, like, I am, yeah, that's exactly what I got from it was, okay, now I'm happy. Now that I'm taking the power back and about to post this online and knowing what is about to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very happy. Why wouldn't you be happy? <'Cause>
Well, revenge. Sometimes when people, like, you know, if you get yelled at for breastfeeding in public or something, that can totally take down your demeanor. And I'm just so glad that she had the strength within, whether it was sarcastic or not, to still be able to do what she set out to do and didn't let that overcome her, I guess is the point I was trying to make. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yes, that she didn't end up, like, taking the bathroom route and sitting there crying on a toilet like a lot of moms have done, because they felt that that was their only option. And then they felt horrible doing that. And yeah, she's just sitting right there in the lobby. And I love it.
Yeah. But you know, this is a huge problem, though, because there's a lot of, you know, even convention centers, you know, all these big events happen.
Yeah.
And there's no accommodations for women. So by publicizing what happened to her and sharing it, she's putting it out in the spotlight, you know, and these conferences and events, they need to make accommodations for, especially if it's the bulk of the people attending are women. Come on. You're bound to have a good percentage.
I'm actually going to a conference in October where all of the people there will be women and most of them mothers. It's for Postpartum Progress. And at the conference last year, they had a breastfeeding and pumping room. And at the conference this year, we'll have a breastfeeding and pumping room. So some
That's
of this,
awesome.
Yeah. Well, some of this is on whoever the conference coordinators are, you know, some of this is on them to say, hey, we need to book an extra room specifically for this. But the rest of it really should be, there should be no reason in a hotel that's big enough to host a conference that there isn't some type of room. Any type of room. All you need is a room with a light and a chair and a plug. It's very simple. We're not asking for anything like, you know, luxurious and fancy. So there's no reason that they can't just make something available, even an empty conference room. would have worked.
Absolutely no reason.
Right.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today we're continuing our series on breastfeeding challenges. We're talking about weaning your baby from a mom's point of view. Okay, so if you're a breastfeeding mom thinking of breastfeeding, or were a breastfeeding mom, chances are pretty high weaning has been on your mind at some point. Today's discussion is coming straight from women who have experienced weaning and have dealt with its challenges. Mamas, let's hear about your breastfeeding journeys. At what age was your baby when they weaned, and do you think age makes a difference?
Oh, well, I only have weaned one because my son and I were never able to have a breastfeeding relationship, which was just, it tore me up. So then when my daughter and I were able to have a breastfeeding relationship, it was just like so amazing and healing and wonderful. And my original goal was to go at least 6 months. But at 6 months, man, we were just cruising through. And I thought, oh, we could do this for a year. And oh, wow, this is, you know, it's going to work. It's going to be great. And then she started getting sick. And we started doing all the tests that you do. And at first, we thought it was just a milk soy intolerance. Now we know that it's an allergy and that she has a ton of other food intolerances. So what happened was that my diet got more and more and more restrictive, to the point where there were like almost 2 weeks of me going back and forth and crying about it and talking to Adam about it and talking. I actually have a therapist, so I was talking to my therapist about it, talking to my pediatrician about it. And eventually I was just like, I can't do this. Even taking vitamins and supplements and doing all of the things, my health was really suffering. My energy level was really suffering. Financially, finding supplements and vitamins that don't have soy in them is a huge thing that should probably be its own episode. So we had to wean. And instead of having the months of weaning of, you know, oh, eventually she'll decide and we'll decide and having that whole like natural process that I thought we were going to have, that's not what we got. And that's not how it worked out. So there's a lot of, there's still like a kind of a grieving process that's going on that I'm still like in the middle of right now. And every once in a while when she's really upset, she'll like nuzzle my breasts and I'm like, oh, don't do that. Don't. Horrible mommy. And I can't, I'm just terrible. You know, I think age might have made a difference. I think just the fact of it being our choice, whether it was her choice or my choice, from a more of a place of freedom instead of a feeling of having it forced on us, might have made a difference. But then again, Sunny, your kids are at 2.5 and you're still really sad about it. So maybe age doesn't help.
You know, I actually think that the older they get, the harder it is, because they have, so my twins are 2.5 now. And I actually think that, I don't know, they know more about it. They've come to expect it. It's more of a cognizant thing that they rely on. And so I think there's more of a mental process there, whereas babies, they know something's wrong, that they want something, but they can't really fight with you about it because they don't really know what it is, right? They just know when they get it, they like it. So I think it can actually have, and Priya, you probably have some perspective on this, having nursed your last one for 3 years, that they just, you know, it's one of those things that I think age can make a difference because they're expecting it.
Right. And I didn't have to talk to her about it. Yeah, I didn't have to explain to her what was going on. Oh, I mean, I tried because I'm silly. But I didn't have to.
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah. She couldn't say, like, no, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So my son, age does make a difference because they comprehend what's going on, but my weaning process was sort of mean. I was creeping up on 3 years, and one day my sister was like, I lived in Miami, so I was visiting New York, and she lives here in New York. And she was like, "We're doing it today. You're here. Let's just do it. You have to do it." So I didn't know what the heck to do. And a friend told me, she's like, "Why don't you put Band-Aids on your nipples?" And put Band-Aids on your nipples, and he'll think that it's an owie, and he'll stop because he won't want to hurt you. So I did that, and that's exactly what happened. And I was like torn between, oh my God, this is so mean because he thinks that he hurt me. And oh my God, it's working. So he's 8 years old now, and he still tries to cop a feel. And he nuzzles up to my boobs. You know, he has his moments. So it's still, you know, it's still ingrained in him. So I think the older you get, the more it's part of the child. And they can't get away from your boobs for whatever reason. They just want to be near them. They want to be nuzzled against them. I don't know if you experienced that, Sunny, but like they just want to touch them constantly, you know, and not in a gross way, not in an inappropriate way.
You know what? It's funny you said that though, because so my 6-year-old, so it was my very first child that I had, and in my mind, I know there's no, you know, we shouldn't say, oh, we failed at breastfeeding because we only did it for so many months. But in my mind, I really had planned to breastfeed for a lot longer than I did. So with my first son, it really only ended up being about 4 months. And that was even with supplementation of formula. And then after 4 months, he just went straight to formula. So in my mind, again, I know we're not supposed to say this, but I failed. In my mind, I was like, I didn't do this properly. But what my oldest son has seen is me breastfeed his little brother a little bit longer. I didn't quite make it to a year, but a little bit longer. And he's seen me breastfeed his sisters for, again, 2.5 years. And so it's funny you say that, Bri, about copping a feel, because it was just like a week ago. We were actually in a swimming pool. So I don't know, maybe my boobs were a little bit, you know, more exposed than normal. And he kept touching my breast. And I'm like, what? And it was, of course, when we had company over. And yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you never do this. Aww. And I wonder.
He wants to be close to you the way they've been close to you recently.
Yeah, but he's 6 and he's never done that before. But there is something there. You know, he realizes, you know, maybe he's just getting older and realizes that's just part of, you know, how I care for his sisters. But yeah, they do that too.
It also could be a boy thing too, because my daughter, so my oldest is very cuddly. He loves to cuddle and hug and stuff like that. Because I'm his mommy. But my daughter's just like, get away from me. You know what I mean? It hasn't like affected her in that way. But it could be a difference between them being a boy and a girl.
Maybe.
I don't know. So what kind of support did you have weaning? Did you try, you know, did you have like what did your husband do? Did you have friends and family like give you lots of advice? How'd you go about all that stuff?
Well, for me, I talked to our doctor. I talked to my OB, who has lactation consultants on staff. I got super lucky with my doctor. And I actually talked to her pediatrician, because they have lactation consultants too. And I was like, okay, what do I do? How do I make this? What I was worried about was her emotional state. And what I realized afterwards, or what I'm kind of working through right now, is she's fine. Totally should have been worried about me. I had postpartum depression and anxiety with my son, and I thought that I had kind of like escaped it this time with Rory, and things have been way better. But one of the things that we don't talk about is that it can be a major trigger, especially if you're weaning in a way that you didn't plan or didn't want. It can be a major trigger for all kinds of postpartum issues to pop up. So it's just been a really, really rough time. I'm lucky because I was already in therapy. Like, I'm already very focused on taking care of myself and taking care of my mental health. So I already have a huge support system, and I already have a support system of mamas all around me. So I had this whole thing to kind of lean back on, and all of these other women that I could call and text and Facebook message and, you know, 24-hour support, basically.
So that's interesting that you're bringing that up, that your postpartum depression or sadness started when you stopped weaning.
Oh, yeah. It has it triggered it
right away.
Hard. Oh, my goodness. And thankfully, I had been through it before, so I knew what it was. When all of these thoughts and feelings came up and I had two panic attacks in one day, I went, oh, okay. I know what this is. I know what this is. I'm calling my doctor. This is not, I'm not going crazy. It's not my fault. But for a mom who might not have had postpartum depression at all, I know of women who didn't have any issues at all past their first year, and they're breastfeeding and they're good, and they start weaning at 18 months or even later, and they think that they're past what postpartum depression should be able to even get to them. And as soon as they start weaning, and some of it is just, it's a hormonal shift, and that can trigger all kinds of stuff. So sometimes you just need a little extra support. Sometimes you might need actual therapy and a support group and or medication or a medication change or, you know, but definitely it's a time to make sure that you do have a lot of support and a lot of people around you who understand that, that it can be really stressful and really hard, and it can bring up all kinds of emotions like we've already talked about. You know, all three of us had totally different experiences and all had a lot of kind of sadness and wistfulness and all of that with it. So we just want to make sure that moms have as much support as possible.
Okay. So if by support you mean my mother saying, "Are you done breastfeeding yet?"
No.
Then I had tons of support.
Oh, honey.
It's okay, though. She's actually a big breastfeeding advocate, believe it or not. It's just she's not used to the extended breastfeeding.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe she doesn't want to look at my boobs anymore. I don't know. Maybe that's part of
it. Oh, who doesn't want to look at your boobs? That's just silly.
Yeah, they're pretty fantastic.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, really my husband just kind of went with whatever I did. I think he really liked the fact, I mean, financially, let's face it, you know, breastfeeding is much more cost effective. So he's always been very motivated by that, which is fine. That's fine. And I never really had to worry too much about support in public because most of the time I'm in my house. So I just kind of, you know, I was very fortunate to be able to pretty much breastfeed on demand with my girls. And really, you know, my husband was really supportive through all of that. But as far as the weaning process is concerned, no, I mean, I really kind of feel like this is just something that me and my girls have had to figure out. And what's really interesting about my experience is that when you're breastfeeding twins, they may not do the exact same thing. I mean, they are identical, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to want breast milk for the exact same amount of time, right? And so I did find that one of my twins really started to wean a lot earlier than the other. And that was okay. So I kind of switched from a tandem breastfeeding thing to more of a one-on-one, which was nice because I was really able to, that was special time that I had with one of my babies where usually I was having to split focus between both of them. So I actually enjoyed that.
So how did the other baby react to only breastfeeding the other one? Was there any type of emotional reaction from
No, really wasn't. And usually, and that's what I found was so interesting, is usually one would trigger the other. So if one came to me to breastfeed, the other one would be there in like a matter of seconds, right? And I would ask. So one baby would get on and I'd be like, "Do you want a nurse too?" And she'd be like, "Nope." And I'm like, "Okay, all right, we're just going to do one-on-one. I can handle this, you know?" And really, I mean, even yesterday, the one that still hasn't, you know, completely weaned was on, but she only hops on a couple times a day. And even then, it's for less than a minute. I mean, and believe it or not, this is another fascinating thing I found. And I don't know, Priya, if you found this too, because you breastfed for so long, but I can literally go days up to, I mean, so far I've pushed it up to 4 days without breastfeeding any child and I still have milk.
You know, it's funny. I don't remember. It's so bad.
That is really cool.
I don't remember that if that ever happened to me. And I'm not saying it's mommy brain. I'm just, they're older, so I'm allowed to forget.
Yeah, of course. Well, now my girls, it's so funny because the one that you know, is still breastfeeding, but again, only a couple times a day and for very short amounts of time, she gets so excited when she finds milk. Because I look down at her because she's latched, and I'm like, Are you getting any milk? I actually ask her this, you know, are you getting any milk? And she smiles and nods her head. And then when she pulls off, there's milk. And I'm like, I cannot believe it's been like 4 days. I'm not engorged. I'm nothing. My body is just still, it's freaking amazing, honestly. Wow, like really that can happen.
Still producing it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like your physical reaction to her wanting to breastfeed.
Maybe.
So your body, you know, your body's like, okay, it's time to do it now. Time to make some milk.
Yeah. It's just a testament to our bodies reacting to whatever our babies need. You know, I'm just amazed by that.
Yeah,
exactly. So what happens when you have to wean your child from breastfeeding? What are some ways moms can make it easier? We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're talking about breastfeeding challenges and weaning your baby. For some moms, weaning can be an incredible challenge. Let's talk about what worked best for us and recommendations we can make to other mamas currently experiencing challenges breastfeeding. So mamas, what strategies did you use to wean your child? Did you get a lot of advice from other moms? How did you go about all this stuff?
I got advice from all the moms. Like I put up, it wasn't even public. I went on Facebook and sent out like a mass message, one of those private messages to, I think it was like 8 or 9 of my mom friends, and just told them what was going on. Like, look, we have to do this thing. And, we're switching her over to this formula, and it's actually a prescription formula. And you guys, y'all, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, somebody tell me how to do this. because every time I try to Google things, I go down a rabbit hole of way too much information and overwhelm. And I'd much rather just ask moms, like other moms who know what the heck they're doing. So that's what I
did.
And
that's why we're having this episode. Yes. Right?
Exactly. I just asked moms, and they had asked me, you know, how much milk do you have stored up? Have you been pumping at all or not pumping or what, you know, and helped me kind of come up with a plan. We had enough milk stored up that I didn't have to feel like I was just this horrible mom for, overnight stopping, you know, and I was able to mix up bottles. And once the bottles of formula were mixed, I could mix breast milk in with it and kind of get her used to like the change in the taste, because the prescription formulas are interesting flavor.
You mean the taste is interesting?
Yeah, the taste is horrible. Yucky. It's horrible because basically what it is really, really broken down. The proteins have to be broken down so far that it's like basic amino acids. It's
that's horrible that they put that out in the show. They give that to the moms. These are human beings. They're not like,
I know. It's really bad.
Aliens. Really, really, like, here, take this. Drink this.
Oh, it's really, 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 really. Oh, this. Yeah. But it's what it's the only thing that she can tolerate. So we have to actually get it from our pharmacy and we have to have a prescription written for it and all of that stuff. But it does not taste good. And so she needed to get used to that taste, and I needed to be able to eat actual food. So my mom friends really just kind of, what they helped me with most was not feeling guilty about it, was reminding me that everything was going to be okay. And reminding me to take a look at, you know, the huge chubby rolls all over my baby and remember that she was all right. And that helped. That's what helped the most.
You know, I didn't ask for a lot of advice, and I think it's because, gosh, how many episodes of The Boob Group have we done so far? I mean, I've heard so much about weaning. I feel like The Boob Group has been one big, you know, advice column for me. so I've taken in a lot over the years. I can say I was very scared of it because this was something that I really, truly hadn't experienced with my first two boys. Like I said, we really didn't go through a major weaning process. I just felt like my milk supply wasn't there, and I have this screaming baby, and it was a necessity. Boom, you're on formula, and now you're happy again. I didn't feel like there was much of a weaning process, but I was scared about weaning the girls because I actually had a friend who posted a bunch of stuff about weaning, I think, a 3-year-old, and maybe it was almost even 3.5, 4-year-old, and it was a nightmare for her. Like, he just relied on it so much. She was having to like jump through, you know, hoops and hurdles and send your kid away for a couple days so he can't have the breast. And like, I mean, I was scared to death because of what this mama was posting. So note to everyone, when you're posting stuff online,
social media is not that great.
They'd be scaring the bejesus out of another mom when you do that.
Yeah.
No, but anyways, it was good for me to kind of have a little bit of a heads up. And so going into this, I thought it was going to be a nightmare. So, and it really wasn't. Like, you know, I say this a lot, and I don't know if people really believe me, but breastfeeding my twins has been so much easier than me breastfeeding a single baby. And I think, like I said, I think I originally thought I had a lot of supply issues, but my main issue was really, you know, maybe just not keeping up with, like, you know, making sure baby's on the left breast and then making sure it's equal on the right. Like, I just wasn't doing a good job of keeping up my own supply. It wasn't that I couldn't produce. So I was able to breastfeed for a lot longer. And I think just because my mindset was, we are going to do this and we are going to do this until we're ready to stop. And then I just, you know, once I reached my goal, which was really only a year, they just kept kind of, I just let them kind of call the shots. But I was still scared about, ooh, is this going to be tough during the weaning process? And I'll tell you what, you know, I think it still kind of remains to be seen because we're still in the weaning process. But like I said, one of my twins is pretty much done. You know, she's just really not interested anymore. And what really helped us is really changing up the schedule, where the times that they would normally breastfeed, we were busy doing stuff. This whole last summer, we just got back actually, but we spent it with family in the Midwest, and their whole schedule was like different, right? They had so many different things to do. They weren't in their normal environment and they rarely asked for the breast. And I really think that was unintentional, but I think because their mind was just not focused on what was normal to them, they, you know, it really helped out tremendously in the weaning process, even though it was unintentional. So if I had any advice for moms, it would be get them out of their routine so they don't realize what they're missing. At least that worked for us.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. That's exactly. I ended up going on a trip for 5 days last week. And so there just wasn't, all of a sudden, I just wasn't here. And there was no other option. I mean, not that there was an option before, but I think that probably did help a lot. And I never even thought about that, Sunny.
And now that you think about it, you know, when moms have to go back to work, that's a break from routine. And unfortunately, that you have to wean off your child when you go back to work. Or you breast pump and you know, give them the bottle when you get home. Or during the day, they have it. But you think about moms and they're, you know, that break from routine that has to happen for the babies when they have to go back to work, and what the babies have to go through and what the mamas are going through, thinking, oh my God, I feel it horrible because now I have to be away from my baby and I can't breastfeed them constantly. So now I'm forced to wean. So how did you guys help your babies cope with the weaning? We think about ourselves and trying to cope with the weaning, and we think we're all in our emotions, all in our heads, like, oh my God, I'm horrible. But what steps did you do to help them cope with it?
Well, I think this is where Adam came in to play, like, kind of a superhero. She had really been, you know, of course she's our daughter, but she had totally been my daughter from the time that she was born, because we were breastfeeding, we were co-sleeping. She was just on me all the time. And so, you know, when she got upset or when she wanted to be comforted, she wanted me. There, you know, daddy didn't have boobs and daddy couldn't really help. And that was coming from her, you know, obviously not from me. But now all of a sudden, daddy had a bottle and daddy had a little bit more, like, daddy could help at night and daddy could, like, he, all of a sudden he felt like he could parent her more. And he kind of stepped up big time, because there were a couple of times when she was just really upset. And I knew that if I was the one to go to her during that nighttime wake up or whatever, that she was going to want to breastfeed, because we were still in our routine. And so he would go, because that was different enough that she was getting, oh, daddy's here. Oh, okay. Well, that's special and fun, you know? And then she was getting the bottle. So she was getting fed and everything was okay. I don't know if you can hear her, but everything's obviously not okay right now.
She caught on.
I'm not letting her play with the microphone, and she's kind of upset about that. But yeah, he was really able to kind of be the man right then. And it really helped their relationship. So that was a good thing.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. And that obviously, yeah, that definitely was great for the two of them and their bonding experience.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So what would you recommend to other moms out there listening? So we've talked about advice. We've talked about helping babies cope, ourselves coping. And we've also mentioned, you know, posting online and, you know, sharing our experiences with people and reading those experiences from other women. From a mom to mom, if I were to ask you, hey, I need some advice. What do I do? What would you tell me as your friend?
The first thing that came to my mind is I truly don't think there's a right or wrong way to wean your baby. I mean, I know experts will give certain, you know, advice about, you know, skipping a feeding, and there is a method to it. And we'll be sure to post actually some of those links to articles where lactation consultants have specific recommendations. I know they do. But in my mind, every family is different. Every situation is different. And what you've been able to do with your baby up to a certain point, it's all different. You know, if you're breastfeeding twins, that's going to be different than, you know, breastfeeding a single baby. And so I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do things the quote right way. And I just don't think there is a right way. And to Graham's mm-hmm. point, if we get in our heads that there is a right way and we're not doing it the right way, we can trigger other things such as yep. delayed postpartum depression or whatever,
yes.
because we are feeling that we're not meeting this standard. I would say do your research, you know, share the Boob Group, listen to previous episodes of the Boob Group, because we talk about this a lot. But give yourself a break.
Yes.
Give yourself a break.
Preach
because
it.
You need it. You need a break. And it's just, you know, and if your child is, you know, older, like what we were talking about before, I think it's okay to kind of talk it out with your child. I have been talking to my twins about this, you know, are you sure you want a nurse? Do you want to play instead? Or, you know, whatever. And I think they understand, you know, when you get to the toddler age and stuff, I think they understand a little bit more than what we sometimes give them credit for. But this, just keep in mind, this is a one-on-one thing between you and your baby or babies, and just do what is right for you. Take in the advice, but in the end, it is your choice and your family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
That's such great advice, honey.
Yeah.
Thanks.
The first thing that I would say is, what do you want it to look like? How do you want this to go? Do you want this to be quick? Do you want this to take months? Are you doing it? You're starting it, or is the baby starting it? Because there is no kind of one fits all kind of advice. There's no kind of advice that I could give to everyone. The advice would kind of be really specific based on what kind of person my friend was and what they wanted out of it and why they were doing it. So in that respect, not everything that you read online or, you know, not everything that you see is necessarily right for you or necessarily applies to you and your family. So once you do start asking questions and reading and stuff, if you're getting advice and it just seems like, ugh, I don't really want to do that, don't do it. It's yeah, okay.
So you have to listen to your body.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen to your own intuition and your gut feeling.
Yeah. You know your family best. You know what is going to work for you, your child that you're breastfeeding, any other children that you might have, your partner, your whoever else is in your house. You know them more than somebody writing an article online knows them. Somebody writing an article online might know what works for the general public. Or statistically, that may or may not work for you.
Yeah, they don't
specific
know you.
Person. Yeah.
Wow, this has been such a great conversation, and I'm sorry we have to wrap it up now. So thank you so much to everyone for being part of today's show and for sharing their experience. If you're a member of the Boob Group Club, then be sure to check out the bonus content for this episode, where we'll be discussing the different ways we bond with our babies after weaning.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
All right, so as we wrap up today's show, we have the Boob Oops segment for you guys. This is where you share your funny breastfeeding and pumping stories. And I love reading these. I love getting emails about this. This one comes from Christina. And Christina says, when my daughter was born, my husband was still working on his thesis. He needed to go to the school library, and we decided to tag along. When we got there, I put my daughter in a sling as we walked around. The library was packed with people, mainly young males studying for exams. You guys know where this is going. My daughter started rooting around and fussing. I already knew she hated being covered up while nursing, so I decided to find a quiet nook where I could feed her and still be discreet. I did drape a thin blanket over us and hooked my bra and attempted to get her into position. I lifted my shirt way up so I could get her latched on right. She latched for about a second, and then she realized there was a blanket over her. She grabbed the blanket, flung it off while pushing away from me and screaming the loudest she possibly could. Suddenly, all of these young men turned around and saw me fighting with my daughter with my breasts completely exposed. All I remember were shocked eyes and bright red faces.
Oh my God.
Can you guys visualize this? I'm like playing this out in my head.
That is the best thing I have ever heard.
They just got a lesson in anatomy.
Yes, they did.
Wow.
Oh my God. I would have looked up and been like, you all need to go home and apologize to your mother right now. Do it. Because I promise you, you did something like this.
I know, right?
But this is so classic, you know, because babies don't want to be covered when they're being breastfed.
They don't.
Can you imagine eating and just putting a sheet over your head? Like,
right.
That's, you feel like you're suffocating. Like,
exactly.
You know. Oh, man.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a good one. So, Christina, thanks so much for sending this in. If you guys have a boob oops you want to share with us, you can email us through the website or reach out to us on Facebook. A lot of people have been doing that recently. And again, we love reading these stories and hearing them. I think it just normalizes everything that we as breastfeeding and pumping moms are going through. So thanks so much.
So that wraps up our show for today. Thanks for listening to the Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, Newbies for Newly Postpartum Moms, Parent Savers for Moms and Dads with Toddlers, and Twin Talks for Parents of Multiples. This is the Boob Group, where moms know breasts.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.